And thank you, ladies. Tremendous message and song, wasn't it? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mark, I think you you made, where is he, Mark? You moved on me there, didn't you? Quick shift. You made a wise choice. You went down and said you're going to pick out three ladies. I think you did well. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. And as you're finding that, I want you to get ready to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We're living in a day when the role of women has been defined and redefined, and there's all kinds of controversy about what a woman should be, both in the home and outside the home. A lot of controversy on that. Some say, well, I believe in a more traditional role for women. Some want to be more progressive. Well, I don't want to be classified as traditional or progressive. I think what we really need, in fact, I know what we really need, is a biblical view of womanhood. What does God want a woman to be? That is the question. What has God laid out as a blueprint for motherhood, for a wife, for a godly woman? Right here we find it. Ladies, may I challenge you, long after this message is over, and after you've forgotten every last word that was spoken from this pulpit, let me encourage you to use Proverbs 31 as a blueprint for your life. Read it. Read it often. Lay it down. Lay it before you. Ponder it. Ask the Lord to help you fulfill it. Use it as a guide to go by. It is an unfailing guide. It is God's standard for what a woman ought to be. And that's the message this morning, the right kind of woman. Would you stand, please, for the reading of God's Word? The right kind of woman. Well, here we find it. Proverbs 31, beginning verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Remain standing, and let's pray to our Father. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that You are our Father. And Lord, thank You for loving us like You do. Thank You for every blessing You've sent our way already today. And now as we continue with this service, we ask, Lord, that You pour out Your blessing as we preach and as we hear the message of the hour. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be much at work in all of our hearts to guide our thoughts, to guide our words, to guide our hearing, and to guide us, Lord, in taking this message to heart and then applying it out of here when we leave to go to our homes, when we leave and go to our everyday lives. May the message today make a difference now and for eternity in our lives. Thank You again for bringing us together on this special day. Thank You for all of our mothers. Thank you for those that are with us and those that have gone on to be with you. And Lord, regardless, we thank you for their influence, their lasting influence in our lives. How that they have made a mark that no hand can erase. Thank you for the shaping, the molding influence, Lord, that they've had upon us. And we pray today's message may encourage all the mothers who are here to keep on doing what they should do, looking to you as their guide and their helper each day. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I heard about a man who wanted a wife. And so he thought, well, I'll just run me an ad in the paper. And so he wrote down an ad and put an ad in the local newspaper. And here's what the ad said. Wanted. One wife. Nice and neat. Medium height and weight. 25 to 45 years old. Hardworking. Dependable. Must own a fishing boat and motor. And then the ad closed with this. Please send picture of boat and motor. Well, a man has to know what he wants, I guess. And so he put in his order. What I know is that God has given us a blueprint for the kind of woman that a woman ought to be. A portrait of a godly wife and a godly mother. And I want to tell you that it has nothing to do with fancy clothes. It has nothing to do with fancy jewelry or hairdos or flashy appearance. But it has everything to do with godly character and integrity and dependability and consistency. Modeling Christ-like character day in and day out. This is, in the eyes of God, of great price and of precious value. And as it says right here, who can find one? Who can find a woman like this? A virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. Rubies are not found on the sidewalk. Rubies are not found in the parking lot. You do not find diamonds just laying around. They're rare. You have to go looking. They're scarce. And for that reason, they're valuable. And so in this world in which we live, women like this are few and far between. Now, thankfully, we have many in our church. We have many in the family of God. But outside, when you go to looking, you'll not find many women like this. Ladies, I want to encourage you to make this your blueprint, to make this your guide for living each day. And God will help you to do it. He'll help you. He's already helped you to make you the women that you are today. And again, we salute you, and we hope that today's message will encourage you. You notice how she's described here. Several things we could point out, and I'm sure you noticed as we read along here, we notice a reference to her honor and her husband and her hands and her household mentioned several times, her habits, and then the most important thing of all is her heart, isn't it? Because she does what she does because she is who she is. You see, her character gives rise to her lifestyle. And so it is. The Bible tells us in this very book of Proverbs to guard your heart or to keep your heart with all diligence, whether man or woman. It says keep it with all diligence. Be watchful over your heart, for out of the heart are the issues of life. So if we had a better heart, then we'd have a better life. The right kind of woman, it starts with the heart and then radiates out. One thing you may not know about this proverb, these verses we've read from verse 10 down to verse 31, in the original language, it goes by letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 10 is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, right on down through verse 31, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Like in our English alphabet, it would be like A to Z. So what God is showing us is this is the complete woman. From A to Z, this is how God describes her. Now I want you to notice the right kind of woman in several different respects. First of all, let's notice this, that she is the right kind of wife. She's the right kind of wife. That's what it speaks of first, her relationship to her husband. Now I realize that not all of you that are here are married. Some of you are, some of you may want to be, some of you obviously will be at a future point. But it's so important that we have godly wives and godly husbands and godly families. What a blessing it was to see these couples up here to model before us what we want for every family. The husband and wife together in unity, and raising the children under God, one home under God. How wonderful it is. And so it begins with her relationship to her husband. And notice verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. I believe in that verse there are two key words. The word heart and the word trust. The heart of her husband safely trust in her. Trust is the foundation of any home, of any marriage, isn't it? And so from the heart, this husband can trust his wife with everything. There's not a thing that he would withhold from her, information or even the finances. He would trust into her care and her keeping because he knows she's trustworthy. Now that's something when you can trust a woman with your finances, right guys? There was this wife who was bragging to her friends. She said, "When my husband and I got married, he became a millionaire." And so one of her friends asked her, "Well, what was he before he married you?" "Ah, thank you for asking. He was a multi-millionaire." She had taken care of some of that money. Well, thank God for a woman you can trust with everything. You can trust her with your thoughts. You can trust her with your children. You can trust her with the home. You can just trust her every which way because you know that she is dependable. Now, we could go back over, we're not turned to it, but you know back in the book of Genesis when God ordained marriage, and marriage and the home are His idea, and He's the one that knows what it takes to make it work. Here's what He said. He saw Adam all alone, and He said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper meet for him, a help meet." And that means a helper that's suitable. Note that. Eve was to be Adam's helper. And so a godly woman, as pictured here and as pictured there and all through the Scripture, is to be her husband's helper. She makes him what he could never be on his own. I stand here to testify today, not only do I owe a debt of gratitude to my mother, but Nancy, my wife, I'd not be the man I am apart from these ladies in my life. There's no way. It's been said that a woman will do to a man what a wind will do to a fire. Either fan it up into a full-blown flame or blow it out. You know, ladies, are you the wind beneath your husband's wings? Or are you the anchor on his boat? You know, you can be one or the other. But a good woman, a good wife, she is the helper. He trusts her. He'll have no need of spoil all his days. And so, there needs to be that right relationship with the husband. She's the right kind of wife, but it doesn't end there. She's also the right kind of mother. All through here it talks about her hands and her household. Her hands and her household. She's busy, but it's not just busy work. You know, again, it comes from the heart. Notice again verse 13, please. She worketh, or she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Notice the word willingly. That is, she's got her heart in it. She does what she does because she wants to, not because she has to. But all through here you will find that the emphasis is on the home. Now, society has tried to define for us what a wife and what a mother ought to be. And I know that there are many working mothers that work outside the home, but I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this. That God's priority for a woman is the home. That doesn't mean she cannot work outside the home, but what I'm telling you is that a godly wife and mother puts her family first. Her family comes first. That's the priority. Her husband, her children must come first. Her main ministry is her family. I looked over in Titus chapter 2 where it speaks about the family. And Paul was writing young Titus as a pastor of a local church much like ours. And he was telling them, "Titus, in your congregation, the older men ought to teach the younger men. And the older women ought to teach the younger women. By the way, that's the way it still ought to be. Because we learn from our elders, and we learn by watching examples. And we can learn not only from precepts, but we can learn by pictures of what we see in the older men and older women. And when he gets to the women, here's what he tells Titus that they ought to teach to the younger women. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Listen carefully. That they may teach the young women to be sober. That means sober-minded. It's also good to be sober and stay away from alcohol too. But it means sober-minded. Teach them to be sober-minded. To love their husbands. To love their children. To be discreet. Chaste. That means pure, holy. Keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands. That the Word of God be not blasphemed. I thought, what does that mean, keepers at home? Does that mean that you have to stay at home? No, that's not what that means. What that does mean, though, it comes from one word actually in the original. And the idea is attending to the home or the household. Keepers at home, meaning somebody is tending to matters at home. You know what's happened in our society is we've gone after this, we've gone after that, we've gone after pleasure, we've gone after profit, we've gone after this and that and the other. And a lot of times, nobody is tending the home fires. Now, ladies, you may have a career and that's fine and well and good, but I urge you, do not sacrifice your home and your family on the altar of your career. Put your family first. Be one who attends to the needs of the family. Somebody's got to. And I know the husband's responsibility. I know what the Bible says about that. What I'm saying is, Mom, I heard it explained like this one time. Mom, you are like the Holy Spirit in the home. You set the mood. You set the tone. You know why so many families are stressed? Because so many women are stressed. If you're stressed, you'll bring it into your home. And the home will be chaos. What I'm saying to you is, so much is riding on you, moms. Don't forsake the prime responsibility of being one who attends to the home, the right kind of a mother. And then, not only is she the right kind of wife and the right kind of mother, where her household and all come first, obviously, as you read through here, household, household, it's all through here. But then she's the right kind of neighbor. She's the right kind of neighbor. It talks about here, for example, what she does in the community. It says that she reaches out her hands to the poor, in verse 20. She reaches forth her hands to the needy. So you have the poor, the needy. It's obvious here that her home comes first, but she's not limited to her home and her family. I was reading this past week about Charles Spurgeon and what a great man of God he was. But I had kind of forgotten about his wife and how much she meant to him in life and in ministry. He pastored a tremendous church there in London back in the 1800s. And she was right by his side. And this biography pointed out the many things that she did. She had a family of her own to raise, and I can only imagine. They had a church where about 5,000 people came week after week. It was amazing. Over his lifetime, the attendance stayed at 5,000 per week. You can imagine keeping up with a flock like that. But she always had a heart for those outside the church. Talked about how she was involved in the orphanage and the work there. Also talked about when they had a home and they were into their ministry there in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. She took one room of her home and from that room distributed books to pastors that had not had the opportunity to go to Bible college or seminary or some such kind of place to receive training. But she had a heart for these kind of ministers that they might have some books and some ability to get deeper into the Word. And so over a period of 20 years, over 200,000 books were sent from their home. She was largely responsible for that. Kind of reminds you here of the godly wife and mother pictured here. She's concerned about the needy. There's all kinds of needs. And I think about the ladies in our church. I look around today. And I know that some of you are involved at the Haven of Rest. Some of you are involved in the monthly food pantry. And some of you are involved in other things like mission trips and so forth. And you're not limited to your family, but you're involved. And it blesses my heart. And it blesses the heart of God. This is a model kind of wife. A model kind of mother. She's the right kind of a neighbor. And then I want you to see something else it talks about. She has the right kind of character. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. If you look down at verse 30, it really gets to the heart of the matter. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. My goodness, how many products are on the market that supposedly make women more beautiful? And I guess they do a pretty good job. Wouldn't you say so, fellas? You better agree. You know, they're all fine and well as far as they go. But how the emphasis in the Bible is on inner beauty, her character. She's the right kind of woman because she has the right kind of character. And here is the heart of the matter. Here's the heart of it. Don't miss this. The heart of this woman is that she fears God. Look at it, verse 30. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is at the heart of all she is and all she does. So let me ask you, what does it mean to fear God? What does that mean? You find it all through Scripture, don't you? And there are those that think it's only in the Old Testament, but no, it's over here in the New Testament too. It's all through the Bible. Somebody described the fear of God like this. Described it as a state of mind in which our own attitudes and will and feelings and deeds and goals are exchanged for God's. That really hits it right on the head. That is, the fear of God is where you say, Lord, what you think is more important than what I think. Your values are what I seek. You're the one I want to please. You're the one I want to honor. You're the one I want to love more than anyone else or anything else. So I put you on the throne of my life. I have great reverence for you. I have great respect for you. I cherish you. I love you. In other words, it's a God-centered, a Christ-centered life. That is the fear of God. And then, too, we find from the book of Proverbs that a person who fears God hates sin. Not only is there a supreme love for God, but there is a terrible hating of sin. That is, sin is hateful in the eyes of somebody who really and truly loves God. Notice, if you will, Proverbs chapter 3. Turn back there with me. Proverbs chapter 3, and I want you to mark these verses. Because I want you to see several times in Proverbs, the fear of God is linked to the hating of sin. We might say it this way, reverence for God and holiness of life. Those two things are hooked together, linked together. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Do you see that? Fear the Lord, on the one hand, that's the positive, and then depart from evil. Go to chapter 8, please, and verse 13. Here it lays it out very clearly. Chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. A person who fears God will hate evil. And then look one more time to chapter 16 and verse 6. Chapter 16 of Proverbs and verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It can't be much clearer than that. Show me a God-fearing woman, and I'll show you a holy woman. A woman who seeks to please God. Not a perfect woman, but a holy woman. And ladies, let me just encourage you with this. There's not a whole lot wrong in our world today that couldn't be fixed by godly mothers. You're doing your part. Many of you are doing your part. But I urge you, keep on doing what you're doing. Don't fall in to the views of the world. Don't sacrifice your principles. Don't lower your standards. The world wants you to do that, ladies, but you hold the line. You hold the line. You hold the standard high for your children. Your children, I know, I raised mine. Sometimes they'll say, but so-and-so's doing it, Mama. So-and-so's doing it, Daddy. Mama's hold the line. They say, well, everybody might be doing it, but we're not going to do it. And the reason for that is not because I say so, is because this is what the Bible says. And this is the way we want to live. We want to be different. We want to be holy. We want to be God-fearing people. So she has the right kind of character. And then I want you to notice this, back in chapter 31, the right kind of woman is one that uses the right kind of words. I love this. In describing her, it says in verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Wisdom and kindness characterize the way she speaks. Well, that's a wonderful thing, to have a wise mother, to have a kind mother. Now, you know, they can be firm when they need to be. The Bible here in Proverbs also talks about the law of thy mother. And boy, we can have a mother, most of us did, that can lay the law down. And that's good. But then to mix that with kindness and then with wisdom. Oh, how we need wisdom. Let me show you a good example of this. Look earlier in this chapter, in Proverbs 31. Look at verse 1. This whole chapter is about a godly woman. Here we find a mother that's the mother of King Lemuel. Now notice this. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Well, what did your mother teach you, King Lemuel? What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Now keep this in mind. Lemuel's mother knew that he was going to be a king. You say, how did she know that? Because kings were not elected. Kings were born. Right? Kings were not elected. We just came through a vote. We just came through the election process. And we may vote for this or that or the other, but we don't vote for a king. We don't have a king, but if we did have a king, he wouldn't vote for him. He'd be born into a family, and from birth would be destined to be a king. So this mother knew that her little baby boy was going to be a king, and so she taught him very wise things, grooming him for his life as king. Here are two in particular it mentions. She warned him about the use of alcohol. And by the way, moms, that's a good warning for your children, to warn them not to dabble with alcohol and drugs. Amen? Leave it alone, because it's no good. And there's a passage in the Scripture, in Proverbs, that goes at great length to describe what comes of alcohol, and it's all no good. Part of what it says is, at the very end, it will bite you like a poisonous serpent. I've got enough sense to leave a rattlesnake alone. Or a cobra. That's what the Bible says. So teach your children, moms, about the dangers of alcohol. And then she also talks here about and taught him about the use of authority. The right use of authority. Because remember, he's going to be a king. So make sure that you give justice to those that may not ordinarily be served justice. You have a heart for those that are the deprived, the ones that are overlooked or slighted. You take particular note of their needs. Good advice for a son. Now, you say, well, I'm not raising a king. And no, you're not. I know you're not. There's not a mother in the building that's going to raise a king. But here's what you are raising, hopefully. You're raising children of the king. You're raising children for the king. The King of Kings. And so you ought to be speaking words of wisdom, words of kindness. And by the way, those two things go together. If we're going to impart our wisdom, the way to do it is with kindness. And sometimes there's a need for rebuke and the need for sternness and firmness and all that. But the way to get things across far better is through kindness. And moms, you're good at that. But with your kindness, impart and instill wisdom. And where do you find wisdom? Right here. Don't be afraid to quote Scripture in your homes. Don't be afraid to refer to say the Bible says this. You may not even know all the Scripture to quote it right, word for word. That's all right. The Lord will overlook that. The Lord will forgive that. You know the truth or the gist of something? Then get that across to your children. They need that. We all need that. She uses the right kind of words. And then one last thing and I'll be done. She deserves the right kind of praise. It says in verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And then down in verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. She's worthy of praise and she deserves praise and she gets praise. And rightly so. Her children praise her. I'm thankful that I can praise my mom. She's a good mom. She's a very good mom. And you know what I mean. Many of you had good moms. Amen? So you praise your mom, whether living or gone on to meet the Lord. You still praise God for her. And while you have her, praise her while you can. Praise her to others. Praise her in the presence of others. Children praise her. Her husband praises her. Men, we need to praise our wives. We need to praise our wives in front of our children. We need to be grateful. You know, it's good to give flowers on Mother's Day, but it's good to say thank you every day and to show our gratitude and our appreciation. And do it while you have a chance. It's been said, dead noses smell no roses. Do your giving while you're living. Then you're knowing where it's going. Pay your respect. Pay your tribute. And so her children praise her. Her husband praise her. But then notice where we read in verse 31. Her own works praise her in the gates. Now that doesn't mean she blows her own horn. What that does mean is her life stands on its own merit. Her works, her life stands as a tribute to itself. Ladies, may I remind you, you're preaching your funeral one day at a time. You're writing your own eulogy one day at a time. As you serve the Lord, and as you put your family first, as you honor your husband so he can safely trust in you, you're living a life that'll stand the test of time. Her own works praise her. What does this mean? In the gates. That's not the cattle gates. That's the city gates. And the city gates in Bible times were like city hall or the courthouse. That's where important things took place. That's where people met. And ordinarily, women were not considered a part of the goings-on in the gates. But this woman is praised in the city gates because this is an unusual woman. This is saying that even where she lives, she'll receive the highest kind of praise because people will know, because they've examined her life over a period of time, they know that she is the real deal. Ladies, that's something to shoot for, isn't it? To live that kind of life. And those of us who have moms, we can be grateful we have this kind of mom. Or wives, that we have this kind of wife. Let me stretch this just a little further. I'm blessed to have daughters that I can say now they're wives and they're mothers. I'm going to tell you, that's a special blessing. And so whether you have a mom you can put in this category, a wife you can put in this category, daughters or granddaughters even you can put in this category, praise God for that. And pray for them. Because it's not easy. It's not easy being this kind of a woman in this kind of a world. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for laying out the blueprint of blessing. Not only for wives, mothers, but also for homes and families. Thank you for giving us clear instruction. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit who makes it all possible. We know, Lord, apart from your grace, we could not live the lives you call us to live. And so, Lord, now is the invitation. We pray, dear Father, we pray for an outpouring of your grace, an outpouring of your Spirit, that whatever needs to happen in our lives to make us the people we ought to be, that, Lord, you would pour that out. That you will speak to our hearts, that you'll work in our hearts in such a way that we'll be different than when we came. Already, Lord, we pray that we've heard things that have changed our heart. But now as we come to this time of invitation, whatever commitment of our life, direction of our life we ought to make, Lord, help us to do that without any debate, without any doubt, without any fear, without any hesitation. Lord, let us do what we ought to do in our heart. To turn it fully towards you. If that means salvation, let it be. If that means that we need to be more committed and need to get on board with our Christian life, then let it be. If it means that we need to lay aside something we're doing that's displeasing to you, then let it be. If we just need to be more diligent in our homes, in our families, as moms and dads and parents, let it be. May you do a work in all of our families and all of our homes right now that will last beyond this service. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and settle something today if you need to settle it.